The Story of Joseph, Part 2. In Part 1 we saw how through the jealousy of Jacob's sons, Joseph's brothers in hatred, sold Joseph to merchants who took him into Egypt and in turn sold Joseph to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, to become Potiphar's chief servant. But sadly, Potiphar's wife tried to molest Joseph, with Potiphar putting him in prison. But later, Pharaoh had two dreams, which none of the magicians or wise men of Egypt could interpret. Then the chief cupbearer, who had spent some time in prison with Joseph, remembered that Joseph could interpret dreams. So Joseph was taken to see Pharaoh, and was able to translate the dreams. Because of his God-given ability to translate the dreams, Pharaoh made him governor of Egypt. Let us now return to the story of Joseph and see what was taking place back home with Joseph's family during the time Joseph had been made governor in Egypt. Genesis 42 continues. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you just keep looking at each other?" He continued, "I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us, so that we may live and not die." Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others, because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain, for there was famine in the land of Canaan also. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the person who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them. But he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he asked. "From the land of Canaan," they replied, "to buy food." Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dreams about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see where our land is unprotected." "No, my lord," they answered. "Your servants have come to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. Your servants are honest men, not spies." "No," he said to them, "you have come to see where our land is unprotected." But they replied, "Your servants were 12 brothers, the sons of one man who lived in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with their father, and one is no more." Joseph said to them, "It is just as I told you. You are spies, and this is how you will be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of your number to get your brother. The rest of you will be kept in prison, so that your words may be tested to see if you are telling the truth. If you are not, then as surely as Pharaoh lives, you are spies." And he put them in all in custody for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do this, and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison, while the rest of you go and take grain back for your starving household. But you must bring your youngest brother to me, so that your words may be verified, and that you may not die." This they proceeded to do. They said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come on us." Reuben replied, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an account for his blood." They did not realize that Joseph could understand them, since he was using an interpreter. He turned away from them and began to weep, but then came back and spoke to them again. He had Simeon taken from them and bound before their eyes. What a strong position Joseph was in now in. He could have so easily taken revenge on his brothers, but no, his godly character and his deep love for his brothers was stronger. Joseph gave them corn, but with certain conditions. He desperately wanted to see his younger brother Benjamin again. His heart was yearning to see his younger brother and his father. We read in the next few chapters of Genesis, chapters 42 to 45, how on the first visit, Joseph sent them home with corn, returning the silver they had paid for the corn, but held back one of his brothers, Simeon, so as to ensure they would return. He also said they must bring Benjamin back with them, or he will continue to keep Simeon as slave. When they did return again to buy corn, they did return with Benjamin. The story continues in Genesis 42:25-38. Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain, to put each man's silver back in his sack, and to give them provision for their journey. After this was done for them, they loaded their grain on the donkeys and left. At the place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey, and he saw his silver in the mouth of his sack. "My silver has been returned," he said to his brothers. "Here is my sack." Their hearts sank. They turned to each other and trembling and said, "What is this that God has done to us?" When they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. They said, "The man who is lord over the land spoke harshly to us and treated us as though we were spying on the land. But we said to him, 'We are honest men. We are not spies. We were 12 brothers, sons of one father. One is no more, and the youngest is now with our father in Canaan.' Then the man who is lord over the land said to us, 'This is how I will know whether you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me, and take food for your starving household, and go. But bring your youngest brother to me, so I will know that you are not spies, but honest men. Then I will give your brother back to you, and you can trade in the land.'" As they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was his pouch of gold. When they and their father saw the money pouches, they were frightened. Their father Jacob said to them, "You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more. Simeon's no more. And now you want to take Benjamin. Everything is against me." Then Reuben said to his father, "You may put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Entrust him to my care, and I will bring him back." But Jacob said, "My son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm comes to him on the journey you are taking, you will bring my grey hair down to the grave in sorrow." The story continues in Genesis 43. Now the famine was still severe in the land. So when they had eaten all the grain they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, "Go back and buy us a little more food." But Judah said to him, "The man warned us solemnly, 'You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother along with us, we will go down and buy food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go down, because the man said to us, "You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you."'" Israel asked, "Why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man you had another brother?" They replied, "The man questioned us closely about ourselves and our family. 'Is your father still living?' he asked us. 'Do you have another brother?' We simply answered his questions. How were we to know he would say, 'Bring your brother down here'?" Then Judah said to Israel, his father, "Send the boy along with me, and we will go at once, so that we and you and our children may live and not die. I myself will guarantee his safety. You can hold me personally responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and send him here before you, I will bear the blame before you all my life. As it is, if we had not delayed, we could have gone and returned twice. Then their father Israel said to them, If it must be, then do this. Put some of the best produce of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift. A little balm and a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio, nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once. And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. We need to pause for a moment and think back to when Jacob was a young man, how in Genesis 26, Jacob's mother Rebekah and he plotted to deceive his father Isaac into Jacob falsely gaining the birthright that was rightly due to his older brother Esau. Jacob's father Isaac was old and had lost his eyesight. Jacob came in disguise, convincing his father that he was his eldest brother Esau. Once he had persuaded his father to give him the birthright, it became a covenant binding agreement. Then when his father and his brother discovered his deception, Jacob had to flee his family home in fear his brother Esau would kill him. In the fullness of time, Esau did forgive him. Here in later life, Jacob is discovering what it is like to be deceived by his own children. But with God, nothing is impossible to redeem. Let us see how the rest of the story unfolds. Genesis 43:15-34 continues. So the men took the gifts and double the amount of silver, and Benjamin also. They hurried down to Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, Take these men to my house, slaughter an animal, and prepare a meal. They are to eat with me at noon. The man did as Joseph told him and took the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were frightened when they were taken to his house. They thought, We were brought here because of the silver that was put back into our sacks the first time. He wants to attack us, overpower us, and seize us as slaves and take our donkeys. So they went up to Joseph's steward and spoke to him at the entrance of the house. We beg you pardon, our lord, he said. We came down here the first time to buy food, but at the place where we stopped for the night, we opened our sacks and each of us found his silver, the exact weight in the mouth of his sack. So we have brought it back with us. We have also brought additional silver with us to buy food. We didn't know who put our silver in our sacks. It's all right, he said. Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasures in your sacks. I received silver. Then he brought Simeon out to them. The steward took the men into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, and provided fodder for their donkeys. They prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon, because they have heard that they were to eat there. When Joseph came home, they presented to him the gifts they had brought into the house, and they bowed down before him to the ground. He asked them how they were, and then he said, How is your aged father you told me about? Is he still living? They replied, Your servant, our father, is still alive. And they bowed down, prostrating themselves before him. As he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, he asked, Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there. After he had washed his face, he came out and, controlling himself, said, "Serve the food." They served him, Benjamin, by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to Egyptians. The men had been seated before him in the order of their age, from the firstborn to the youngest, and they looked at each other in astonishment. When portions were served to them from Joseph's table, Benjamin's portion was 5 times as much as anyone else. So they feasted and drank freely with him. This part of the story reminds me that one day God himself is going to call up from the earth his chosen family, the church, recorded in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 18. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Jesus' family, the church, his bride, will be caught up to heaven to have a great banquet, as recorded in Revelation 19. Then soon afterwards in Revelation 20 we read, we with Jesus will come back to earth for a 1,000-year reign, and then after the 1,000-year reign, Jesus will create a new heaven, new earth, where together with all God's righteous people, both Jews and Gentiles, which includes those who lived before Jesus came to the earth to die, together they will reign forever with him in righteousness. Later in the story of Joseph, we will see how all Jacob's family would eventually come to live in Egypt for a long period of time to escape the famine, then eventually return to their homeland, the land of Canaan. Let us see what happens to Joseph's brothers while in Joseph's presence and on their second return journey home to their father Jacob. Genesis 44 continues, now Joseph gave these instructions to the stewards of his house. Fill the men's sacks with as much food as they can carry, and put each man's silver in the mouth of his sack. Then put my cup, the silver one, in the mouth of the youngest one's sack, along with the silver for his grain. And he did as Joseph said. As morning dawned, the men set off on their way with their donkeys. They had not gone far from the city when Joseph said to his steward, go after these men at once, and when you catch up with them, say to them, why have you repaid good with evil? Isn't it this the cup my master drinks from, and also uses for divination? This is a wicked thing you have done. When he caught up with them, he repeated these words to them, but they said to him, why does my lord say such things? Forbid from your servants to do anything like that. We even brought back to you from the land of Canaan the silver we found inside the mouth of our sacks. So why would we steal silver or gold from your master's house? If any of your servants is found to have it, he will die, and the rest of us will become my lord's slaves. Very well then, he said, let it be as you say. Whoever is found to have it will become my slave. The rest of you will be free from blame. Each of them quickly lowered his sack to the ground and opened it. Then the steward proceeded to search, beginning with the oldest and ended with the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. At this they tore their clothes. Then they all loaded their donkeys and returned to the city. Joseph was still in the house when Judah and his brothers came in, and they threw themselves to the ground before him. Joseph said to them, what is this you have done? Don't you know that a man like me can find things out by divination? What can we say, my lord? Judah replied, what can we say? How can we prove our innocence? God has uncovered your servant's guilt. We are now my lord's slaves. We ourselves and the one who was found to have the cup. But Joseph said, "Far be it from me to do such a thing. Only the man who was found to have the cup will become my slave. The rest of you go back to your father in peace." Then Judah went up to him and said, "Pardon your servant, my lord. Let me speak a word to my lord. Do not be angry with your servant, though you are equal to Pharaoh himself. My lord asked his servants, 'Do you have a father or a brother?' And we answered, 'We have an aged father, and there is a younger son born to him in his old age. His brother is dead, and he is the only one of his mother's sons left, and his father loves him.' Then you said to your servant, 'Bring him down to me so I can see him for myself.' And we said to my lord, 'The boy cannot leave his father. If he leaves him, his father will die.' But you told your servants, 'Unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you will not see my face again.' When we come back to your servant, my father, we told him what my lord had said. Then our father said, 'Go back and buy a little more food.' But we said, 'We cannot go down. Only if our youngest brother is with us will we go. We cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us.' 'Your servant, my father, said to us, 'You know that my wife bore me two sons. One of them went away from me, and I said, "He has surely been torn to pieces," and I have not seen him since. If you take this one from me, and harm comes to him, you will bring my grey hairs down to the grave in misery. So now, if the boy is not with us, when I go back to your servant my father, and if my father, whose life is closely bound up with the boy's life, sees that the boy isn't there, he will die. Your servant will bring the grey hair of our father down to the grave in sorrow. Your servant guaranteed the boy's safety to my father. I said, "If I do not bring him back to you, I will bear the blame before you, my father, all my life. Now then, please let your servant remain here as my lord's slave in place of the boy, and let the boy return with his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that would come to my father." The story continues in Genesis 45. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him, because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in this land, and for the next 5 years there will be no ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Joseph, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says: God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children, grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have, I will provide for you. Because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honour accorded me in Egypt, and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. Here again, I need to pause and think of Jesus while he was dying on the cross. He was crucified to redeem the world from sin. He wanted to reconcile the world to himself. Love won on Calvary. Then we recall the very last words Jesus cried on the cross before he died. It is finished. Yes, Jesus knew at that moment the pain and suffering was over for eternity, that the sin that separated us from God had been paid. Jesus' family were now about to be reconciled. We have just read in Genesis 45:1, then Joseph could not longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. In the last moments before Jesus died on the cross, we read in Matthew 27:45 and verses 50-53, "From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people." Let us return to Joseph. Let us picture those last few agonizing moments Joseph spent listening to his brothers, pleading with him to spare their lives, while all along in his heart, Joseph's love for his brother was welling up inside. He could not contain himself any longer. This was the turning point for him. He knew that this was the time to make himself known to his brothers. He was about to be reconciled back to them. Now he could start a new chapter with them. I now want to compare it with those last dying moments Jesus spent on the cross when he cried, "It is finished." This was the moment when he made reconciliation with the world. The Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 1:21-22, "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." Let's hear the end of the story. Genesis 45:16-27 continues. "When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Jesus' brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your family back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You are also directed to tell them, do this, take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father to come. Never mind about your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours.' So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts, as Pharaoh commanded, and he also gave them provision for the journey. To each of them he gave new clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. And this is what he sent to his father: 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for the journey. Then he sent his brothers away. And as he was leaving, he said to them, 'Don't quarrel on the way.' So they went up out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, 'Joseph is still alive. In fact, he's ruler of all Egypt.' Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the cart Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived, and Israel said, I'm convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. We can only speculate on how difficult it must have been for the brothers to confess how Joseph came to be living in Egypt. Honesty and confession is so necessary in order to move forwards when we have wronged someone. The next chapter, 46, continues. So Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob. Here I am, he replied. I am God, the God of your father. He said, do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again, and Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. Then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's son took their father Jacob and their children and their wives in the carts that Pharaoh had sent to transport him. They also took with them their livestock and the possessions they had acquired in Cana, and Jacob and all his offspring went to Egypt. He took with him to Egypt his sons and grandsons, his daughters and granddaughters, all his offspring. We now read what Joseph did for his family when they arrived in Egypt. We continue in the next chapter, chapter 47. Joseph went and told Pharaoh, my father and brothers, with their flocks and herds and everything they own, have come from the land of Canaan and are now in Goshen. He chose five of his brothers and presented them before Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked his brothers, what is your occupation? Your servants are shepherds, they replied to Pharaoh, just as our fathers were. They also said to him, we have come to live here a while because the famine is severe in Canaan and your servants' flocks have no pasture. So now please let your servants settle in Goshen. Pharaoh said to Joseph, your father and your brothers have come to you, and the land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in Goshen, and if you know of any among them with special abilities, put them in charge of my own livestock. Then Joseph brought his father Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh. After Jacob blessed Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult, and they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers. Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt and gave them the property in the best part of the land, the district of Ramesses, as Pharaoh directed. Joseph also provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food, according to the number of their children. Sometime later, in Genesis 50, we read of Jacob's death. The brothers immediately panicked. They thought now that Joseph's father has died, Joseph would take revenge on his brothers. We see how guilt can greatly affect our mind. It can eat into our soul. They were still harboring the guilt, the memory of selling Joseph to the Midianite traders, creating a sad heart within their father over deceptively creating the idea that Joseph had died. But we read in Genesis 50:15-21, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all that we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph, saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of God of your father. When the message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will give for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Down through the centuries, before Jesus came into the world as a babe, God could have so easily destroyed mankind for all the grievous sins it had committed. The Apostle Paul says to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 2:1-10, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying and the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us all." There is one important lesson for each one of us to learn in this wonderful story of Joseph. During our lifetime, as faithful followers of Jesus, difficult circumstances can arise. Sometimes we are unjustly accused, or we may suffer persecution. Yet, in the fullness of time, we come to realize that it was all planned by God. Through these difficulties, our circumstances had to change. In so doing, God has led us to encounter someone or redirected our path, resulting in us bringing glory to God. It may be we discovered our own true earthly gift or calling. It may be we met someone who God had brought along our path. It may be they were at the time not a Christian, but through your encounter they met with Jesus. I can testify how God can turn around adverse circumstances for his glory. In the spring of 1999, at the age of 54, I fell ill to ME, which is also called chronic fatigue syndrome. It was clear to my employer that this time of illness can leave you disabled for the rest of your life. I would not be able to return to full employment, so they gave me a healthy pension. It did take some 8 years for me to get back to a moderate level of health, and now I'm able to lead a normal, active life. Yet, God was in this, because Chris and I were already supporting and praying for Romania, and in 2003, some 4 years after my illness struck, God enabled us to visit Romania, not realizing at the time he would enable us, with the support of fellow Christians back in England, to buy a piece of land, build a Christian community center, and begin a Christian work in one of the villages. There is also another beautiful illustration in the last part of the story. Pharaoh invited Joseph's family to live in Egypt, giving them the best areas in Goshen. As Joseph's father Jacob and his family were on their journey to live in Egypt, notice what God said to Jacob in Genesis 46:1-4. We read, "So Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, 'Jacob, Jacob.' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'I am the God of your father,' he said. 'Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation here. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again.' Notice what God was saying to Jacob. He supported Jacob in what he was doing, was going to be with him when he goes into Egypt. But most important, the family of Jacob would one day return to the land often referred to as the Promised Land, which God had already ordained for them, the land of Canaan, the land they had just left. This would happen some 400 years later, when God sent Moses back to Egypt to deliver the Israelites out of the treacherous hands of Pharaoh, which we read about in the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. Let us remind ourselves again. Jesus will one day appear in the air and collect the church. Then he will return to this earth with the church and set up his kingdom, where righteousness will reign for 1,000 years, as revealed to John in Revelation 20. But after the 1,000 years, he will create a new heaven and a new earth where God's children will live with him for eternity. It will be our promised land, as John recorded in Revelation 21. The Apostle Paul spoke about a new land and a new city promised to God's people in Hebrews 11:8-16. By faith Abram, when called to a place where he later received as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in a promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived there in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I pray the story of Joseph will have encouraged you to stay close to the Lord. Trust him, for he has the perfect plan for your life, both now and eternity. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:6-10, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. In closing, let us listen to those wonderful words from the song In Christ Alone, written by Stuart Townsend, which you can listen to on YouTube.
Cornerstone, this solid ground. Shut up.